curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast with Ron Kitchens. How are you doing this morning, Ron?
I am mindfully ready for today's discussion.
That is wonderful, and I love that you're mindfully ready because today we're going to be talking about mindfulness, meditating, thinking, journaling, and just really that whole concept of mindfulness. So that was a great lead-in. You're so much fun to work with and just always on top of the game. So thank you for that warm and welcoming introduction and lead-in for us as we try to tackle a topic that I think as leaders sometimes is challenging to work our mind around, this concept of mindfulness. So can you kind of talk about why this topic has been on your heart recently?
So I love working with leaders and particularly young leaders who are coming up. My next book is really dedicated to this idea of there's amazing next generation of leaders coming. But my heart is also broken when I see a lot of leaders going through burnout. You know, burnout's one of those things that we use on Friday afternoons, say, oh, it's a rough week, I've been burned out. But it's really a much bigger thing than that. I see a lot of people changing jobs. I see a lot of divorce. I see a lot of chemical dependency of leaders around this idea that they just did too much and they didn't take enough time. They weren't selfish enough with their time. And they created this burnout, which is a real chronic problem of anxiety and dependency and anger that manifests itself, and it kills their careers, it kills their life, it destroys their families. But we know there are ways around it. And it isn't just leaders who, you know, are unconnected. It's just this morning listening to a great podcast where on the podcast, they were retelling the story of where Warren Buffett had to sit Bill Gates down and say, Bill, you know, nobody gets an award for working too many hours. You've got to take time for yourself to think. That's how you built a great company, was thinking, not always doing. But boy, that's hard when you're an emerging leader. And so it's really important that we understand this. I spoke at the International Economic Development Council's leadership meeting in Las Vegas on this topic. And I thought, boy, I'll get a few dozen people. And I didn't count, but the room was packed. It was standing room only. And it was a fairly large ballroom because these are all senior leaders feeling this need to, you know, I refer to it as reconnecting to your own soul. And y'all know and want that feeling, but boy, it's hard to get back if you get off of it.
Last week on the podcast, we talked about optimizing productivity or your performance. And this topic of mindfulness seems to be the best next step in really helping leaders to optimize really their performance. We talked about writing things down and having a system for reflection and keeping track of your to-dos and all of the very standard things that are so critically important for leaders. But what people often miss is the opportunity that you create for yourself when you take time for really practicing mindfulness, which is really about taking time to shut down the noise and to shut down your thinking so that your thoughts can actually become more clear.
Yeah. And people get focused on this idea that, you know, we haven't used the M word yet, meditation, because they get off on the tangent of it's some kind of religious thing, or it's some kind of, you know, I got to have a guru. You know, I use a software called 10% Happier, and there's a great book on that. I happen to use an app that works for me daily, and it really is about getting your mind to be quiet. As we talked last week, you know, I've always got to be taking notes, but by training my mind to be quiet, and I just set aside 10 to 15 minutes every morning that I just want to calm the noise. And so by using this app, it really helps you focus on breathing, which isn't about the breathing. It's about if you're focused on that, then you're not focused on you know, the 800 things you got to do today and the 300 things you don't have to do, but your mind keeps going to. So it really has become important in my life to do that, because I've realized if I'm anxious and I start the day in a froth, then I'm going to make everybody who's on my team and I interact with, I'm going to cast anxiety into their life. Even if what I'm saying is positive and right, but they won't be engaged enough to hear it. So as a point leader, if I don't come in a calming, disciplined way, then I'm going to throw off, in our case, 30 other people's day. And so it's critically important, if I want them to be productive, I've got to be mindful of how I'm beginning my day. And I'm a spiritual being. I also incorporate, you know, my morning prayer with it. You know, I incorporate a good cup of coffee. I'm not one of these that roll out of bed and don't brush my teeth or comb my hair. No, I'm a lot of times I'm sitting there on the floor going through this. I'm on the floor because Truman, the world's greatest dog, doesn't get on the couch.
Got to give a shout out to Truman.
And so Truman is there next to me. He likes to lay there by me. And it is one of the best moments of my day. And what am I, 20 minutes into my day, people go, I just don't have 20 minutes. Well, go to bed 20 minutes earlier, get up 20 minutes earlier. But it's critically important. I wouldn't go back.
There's a great quote by Peter Drucker that says, follow effective action with quiet reflection. From the quiet reflection will come even more effective action. And I think that's such a good quote and so important for leaders to really lean in and think about, because we all want to be effective in our leadership and in the work that we're doing. And sometimes taking that 10 to 15 minutes, which seems like a lot at first, the first time I sat down to quiet my mind, I made it about 30 seconds before the first thought came in.
Yep.
And so you have to start small, start with a few minutes, build up to the 10 to 15. But I think I encourage all the listening audience to just give it a try, because it really does allow you to give yourself a little bit of space. And then afterwards, when you do start getting back into the groove of your day, you are more at peace and more prepared for whatever that day is requiring of you to tackle.
No, I think you're dead on. And it takes a different form with different people. So that's the thing that's, we all have to remember, that your version of it doesn't have to feel like my version of it. But what we have in common is our understanding that the selfishness of quiet time is a gift that we give to not just ourselves, but we give to those that we interact with. And it's just me. I mean, I'm prominent people that are meditating, or Rupert Murdoch of Fox News and Bill Ford and Oprah and Ray Dalio, whose book that Faye gave me for Christmas Principles is phenomenal and filled with stories of his focus around mindfulness. And Arianna Huffington, who, you know, not only talks about being mindful, but also getting a great night's sleep. And that was in reading her book and her work, I realized that I, as a leader, was sacrificing. I actually said to somebody, I wish I could figure out a way to sleep less than 6 hours a day. Well, that's the equivalent of saying, you know, if we polluted the river and we cleaned out all of the vegetation and all the fish in it, we could get more water to go through the river. But rivers aren't meant to have more water go through them. They're meant to grow vegetation and fish. And that's a self-defeating attitude. But I thought that's what leadership looked like. Now I know that for me, it is a solid 8 hours. And on weekends, I'm probably going to get 9, maybe even 9.5 with a nap in there, because that's what my body needs to regenerate and be a great leader. That's the season I'm in. And so being mindful of that is just knowing what fuel does your car need. My previous car, I could use E85 fuel. That has a lot of alcohol in it. It was less expensive. I really liked that. But my new car, I have to use premium gas in it. it won't run on E85 and it won't run on the cheaper fuel. If I want to drive that car, then that's the fuel I have to put in it. And our leadership, the people around us need us to put the right fuel in our leadership so that we can help them succeed. And that's why this is so critically important.
And in a world where we talked about this last week on the podcast, but there's increasingly abundance of noise out in the world. We are connected all the time, virtually everywhere we go, by a phone, a watch, an email, everything. It's just there's a lot of information to take in, more so than ever a human being has had to take in, we're taking in today, and it's not going to go away. So what are the practices and the habits that we can utilize in order to quiet our minds down enough so that we can become more effective at intaking the information that's before us? And there's been a lot of study about how as society, especially for Americans, we're seeing more and more anxiety performance. And what does that do to a person who was a high performer, that all of a sudden that anxiety, their own performance anxiety, is causing them to be numb, where they're not able to take action? And there's a lot of studies out there about how mindfulness and the practice of mindfulness can help bridge that gap. And there, in fact, there was a study at Harvard Medical School under Dr. Elizabeth Hoag, who really talked about how when you get to that point where you're having that anxiety, it really is about the problem of being able to keep your mind from having those distracting thoughts about your performance to have more power than what's actually happening in the world. And mindfulness allows you to say, like, there's that thought again that I'm bringing up. Maybe my own feelings of inadequacy or my own self-doubt or not feeling qualified to do this work. And now with mindfulness, I can begin to say, oh, there's that thought again, but I still need to do the work. So what do I need to do to cross this hurdle into the next phase in order so that we can keep going and be effective? So I think it's a really interesting practice that we can relate back to what we're seeing in our own agencies, our own communities, with people crippling under the anxiety of the world.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about it offline that when we look at my Gallup strengths, I have empathy is very high for me. And so if I watch a lot of news programs, I mean, it really screws up my day. All of a sudden, I'm worried that children are starving in Sudan and there's war in this place and the problems seems so overwhelming that it really knocks me off of my game. And so I know that I have to manage that information strategic, that in fact, it is the safest time that we've ever lived in world's history. Fewer people die of diseases and wars and famines than have ever died before. It's the greatest time in history and democratization of information. But I have to be mindful of that because otherwise it's like junk food. I'm telling you, Dunkin' Donuts taste awesome, but they cannot be the mainstream of your diet. And, you know, and I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't even have milk and donuts. But I know that I have to be mindful. But occasionally I slide through and get one of them cruller things. Oh, man, they're so good. But I make a conscious decision to do that. I don't let the world decide that I'm going to do that. And so mindful leaders create boundaries of information, but they have a plan on how they're going to handle that information, that inbound, because we are so overwhelmed. You can be consumed by the negativity of the news, whatever your bias of news is, or of Facebook, or, you know, whatever your information overload is. Spotify is one of my information overloads. You know, I'll hear a song and think, oh, I want to capture that and put that in my playlist. And the next thing you know, 2 hours later, I've added 150 songs on Spotify to my playlist. And all I really did was like that one Commodores song. And, you know, now I'm overloaded. So mindfulness says we want to be our best and we want to create an environment that allows us to do that. And we're going to stop and evaluate on a regular basis. We're not going to get to crisis mode and hit the wall before we evaluate where we're at.
Sure. So your Spotify is my Pinterest. My channel for losing myself is often Pinterest. But in closing, Ron, in all seriousness, can you share that app again that you've utilized in order to begin this practice? Because I think it starts with beginning somewhere.
Yeah, it's 10% happier. You know, they've got a free version. It's got some reminders on it. It works really, really well. And I use, I don't know, the annual subscription. I don't know how much it is. It's not much. Whatever it is, it's absolutely worth it to me. But 10% just happier. And I think you'll be really, really pleased with it.
Well, this is a great conversation we had today. I've really enjoyed talking to you and learning from you, Ron, about this mindfulness. If there are any other topics that you'd like to hear from Ron about or to hear discussed on the Always Forward Leadership podcast, please let either Ron or myself know. My email is carla@consultantconnect.org and Ron is ron@ronkitchens.com.
Awesome. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him @ronkitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.